cells that have been stored in the epididymis. And the
okay. Where were the workers from who worked in the Newton Steel Mill?
Most of them, probably 80% of them, come from Newton Falls, Ohio.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
And what was the other town there? Well, around Newton Falls.
Mm-hmm. Can any of the workers in the steel mill be identified with any racial or ethnic groups?
Any what?
Racial or ethnic groups?
No.
No? How about any religion? Any religious groups?
No.
Just neighborhood groups?
Yeah.
Right, a neighborhood?
Yeah.
Okay. Was there any particular political party?
No, we never had.
No?
Nothing.
Was there social classes within the steel mill?
No.
Okay. Was there a lot of families involved? A lot of families within families working in the steel mill?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of that.
Okay. What were, like, the wages and the hours and the working conditions?
When they come to Monroe, I started out $1.50 an hour, and the highest paid around here was 45, 50 cents an hour.
Oh, my gosh. I was
going to say $1.50
that time. That's pretty good. They're the ones brought the price of labor up around here.
Oh, yeah? Wow. What were the various departments?
Well, there was first started out the bar department where they cut the bars come in there 12 inches wide and 40 foot long, some of them be half inch, to 5/8 sticks or even thicker. And that's what they cut off the length of that.
Uh-huh.
And that made the length of the sheet. The longer the sheet they wanted, thicker the iron had to be. I couldn't believe that at first. Well, then it comes from there. It went through ovens. The ovens was about 60, 80 foot long, and that got red hot. And they put that little narrow bar, whatever width the sheet was, in these hot mills, they called them.
Yeah, hot mills, right.
And they'd roll it out, and they'd roll it halfway. Well, then they take it from there, behind them, and put it in another oven about 60 foot long, mm-hmm. and they called that the finish mill. Then they rolled it out to the length it was.
Oh,
and then
nice.
It went from there to the pack shears. That's what I worked on. Well, I worked in the mills too, but
mm-hmm.
when I first went there as inspector on the pack shear,
mm-hmm.
and they cut this automatic pack shear, they shoved the steel in the end that went through a roller level first, and then it went into this pack shear and had a trip on there and cut the sides off. Then it went up another 10 foot or whatever length the steel was, and a man stood there and he had to kind of watch it there, and then it cut the lengths off.
Wow.
What's a pack shear?
Pack shear, that means that it cut any thickness steel was. See, most of them was rolled after they got it in the rough. They put three of them together.
Mm-hmm.
When they finished it, they'd be three sheets together, and they cut all three of them at once. And then also, it would be like this when it come out of there, on this roller level behind the pack shear, made that steel just as flat. That's something. It was rolled like this, about 50 or 100. And when that went through there, you're thinking it made it like
mm-hmm.
this. But when that come out, it was just perfectly level.
Wow. That he was talking about the different things that the people did, you know,
yeah.
the history teacher was. And but this is really, this interested me a lot,
yeah.
this strike. It,
well, then see, after it got out of the pack, after we inspected it, we put the bad stuff in one pile, I stood there and watched,
yeah.
and then the good sheets on the other. Well, then it went what they called an annealing furnace, and it'd stay in there sometimes 54 hours. And then
wow.
big iron
mm-hmm.
thing, they'd pile it all up in a pile, and you could look in there, you couldn't get very close, and that would be red hot in there for 24 to 54 hours, according to what temperature they wanted to steal.
Oh, is this also so that it can
yeah.
cool down at a slower rate?
Yeah. Then they took it out of there and it went through some more rollers again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they trimmed it to size again. They trimmed it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went to the end and they ran it through what they call an oiler. They put a little oil on it so it wouldn't rust.
Wow.
Then after that, see, that part shut down in about 1938,
39. Yeah, that's right.
And then I was the only one of the last ones to leave. They brought the strip, like you see these rows on the truck now, they brought them from Cleveland and from Warren, Ohio. I think you have a strip now. And we brought it here and we cut it up into sheets for the, like General Motors and Ford mm-hmm. and them for auto parts. We cut that up into the size they wanted. And then we finished it, run it through the finishing rollers down there in the field now.
Hmm. What was your relations with the management?
Good. They were the best. Most of the superintendents and them, like Sells, Mr. Sells was a personnel manager, and he'd do anything. We had our own insurance out there. We mm-hmm. paid $5 a month, and after we got the insurance up to a certain amount, nobody paid anything.
Oh, wow.
And then if somebody off sick, Mr. Sells would bring you your check and pay all your bills. You wouldn't have to pay nothing. And I found out in 1936, 37, my appendix broke.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up in the hospital, and she called and told him that I wouldn't be at work, that I was in the hospital. Heck, it wasn't a half hour. He was there. It was $400. And I just got in the hospital.
That sounds almost impossible.
That's what
today.
People could do if they'd have right. their own insurance. They could save right. money and get twice as much benefit. And that was the nicest insurance, boy. You never had to worry because they come right with the check to you right away. You didn't have
that's
to sign
great.
Up or nothing.
Jeez, that's...
If you could operate all these plants today like that, you could save the people and everybody money.
That's right.
Yeah, it seems today they're all too systematic, you know.
Oh, yeah. Everything.
Process and that process.
Well, the unions today, see, has demanded so much and stuff that they've hurt the companies, and the companies is disappointed with them, and they won't work along with them.
Mm-hmm.
Them days out there, heck, they'd do anything. If I'd work overtime, a lot of times I'd work overtime, one of the inspectors would be sick or something, I'd go out there and get my meal. They had a nice restaurant out there. And as soon as they found out that I was working overtime, went out there and I'd get anything I wanted to eat,
jeez.
Not pay a thing. Or else they'd give me 2-3 meal tickets, and I'd go out there and get all I wanted to eat.
I can see why you guys went against the CIO. I mean, why they wanted, you know. It
yeah.
seems like working conditions were good.
Yeah. It's a shame it shut down, because what shut it down, just what I said, in 1935, 36, they started them strip mills, making it just like paper.
Mm-hmm.
You can't believe that, how they can make that. I would like to go through one. I've seen a movie. They brought a movie mm-hmm. out there and showed us how that goes through there and makes that steel that fast and rolls it up just like making paper down there in
mm-hmm.
a paper mill. And that ruined this mill here because, see, they couldn't make the money after them strip mills.
Oh, they weren't as refined as these other mills?
You handled everything out here with tongs, boy.
Uh-huh.
And you didn't want to slip.
Really?
Because that hot iron, see, boy,
yeah.
you had to, when you pulled that out of the oven, you pushed the button. I used to feed for a while. I quit the inspection job, went on catching and feeding, and I had to bring that hot steel out of the oven. You pushed the button to come up there at the end. You didn't dare bring it out because it'd make the next sheets too close to the end, and the end of them cool off and you couldn't roll them. You had to reach in there and jerk that and pull it out, run it down these rollers, and drill it through them rollers. Every once in a while, them 30-inch rollers, you wouldn't think they could possibly ever do that. They'd break. And when they broke, it was so big that just everything flew. You had to be, more guys got hurt by rollers. We'd break a couple sets a week of them rollers out of the 10 mils.
What, when they get hot, they shatter?
Just the right temperature, they just break. And you didn't know where they was going to break, whether it was the bottom one or the top one. If the top one broke, it wasn't quite so bad. But if the bottom one broke, it was hooked on the dry shaft that run them all.
So,
and that dry shaft was 30 inches. And it had I forget how many thousand horsepower motor run that. The flywheel was about 24 foot, two flywheels on that big motor that run them mills, so you know what had happened. I always figured when them flywheels broke, it would come right through Monroe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it sounds similar to what we had on the ship. We had big turbines, right?
Yeah.
And they were run off steam, high temp steam. And if any water got in the system and hit blades.
Okay. Let's see. What were the relation between the workers in the steel plant?
What was what?
The relation between the workers?
Well, we had good at first, then a few of them joined the union, and they pulled a strike and never even said anything to the rest. There's about 100 and some out of 1,200 pulled a strike, and we just went right through and went back to work.
Mm-hmm.
We never did get union in there.
Right.
And they tried to shut us down. It was some of them from Chicago.
Right, yep. A lot of the CIO.
I was going to say some of that out of the paper.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think of it.
You never think of it at the time. You never think anything's going to come of it. Right?
Yeah, big fires. I got a whole drawer down the basement.
Yeah.
The big fires.
What was the city of Monroe like during the Depression time?
Well, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as some cities. The bigger cities was worse off than this was. Everything, see, the paper mills during Depression went.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't shut down. Well, then, see, 1939, they shut the mill down for a year, and I went to the paper mill for a year. Steel mill started back up, and I went back out there and worked another year, and it shut down the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just as the war started.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I don't think Monroe was bad as these bigger towns, because they had these paper mills, and the paper mills made boxes for food. See, that's what kept them going.
Yeah, plus, I guess he was talking about, like, Chicago.
Yeah.
During the Depression time, he said it was really a lot of violence and a lot of...
But them paper mills really kept Monroe going during the Depression. But now, see, they don't make no paper boxes no more. Everything comes in plastic or something.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Right. How important was the Newton plant to the city of Monroe? How important was the city of Monroe?
They got a good tax off that, because that was one of the expensive, I forget what that mill cost at that time to build that, but anyway, City of Monroe got a good tax off that, same as they do now. Ford, see, half of that Ford plant is the steel.
Right, that's right, Why did the people join or oppose the CIO? Why did people join it, and why did people oppose it?
Well, because they never come out and ask us to join the union or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They come out there and said they was going to strike. And I says, what? And the guy says, yeah. He says, wasn't you notified? I says, no, nobody even asked me to join the union.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he says, you can join after we strike. Well, I says, I don't know now whether I will or not. It may be mad. And that's the way the rest felt. That nobody asked you to join, and then all at once 100 and some guys going to pull a strike and close you out. Well, we just went through it.
Wasn't there a union within the steel plant, the Republic?
No, not then.
No,
they
was
trying,
at...
They was getting it.
Right, okay.
They wasn't just organizing.
Right, did you sign the petition at all?
No,
that
they never
on?
Come
no?
around with anything.
Huh.
That's what I said.
All right, because let's see, he told us like 90% of the workers signed a petition against the CIO.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, describe in detail the day, your day, on the day when the picket line was broken. Like, what kind of day was that for you when the picket line was broken?
Well, I knew I was going back to work.
Yeah.
That, I just got out of the hospital. That's when my appendix had broke. Just, what was it, 2-3 weeks before? About a month, because I was in the hospital 28 days. So then it was a couple, 3-4 days after I was home from the hospital. The doctor ordered me not to go. I told him I was going through the picket line.
Mm-hmm. Did you go right through there then?
Yeah.
Oh my, yeah, we saw a film on that, on the people going through and the CIO dumping over,
yeah.
No, it was the Republic unions that were dumping the cars over
yeah.
into the river.
It was the non-union guys.
Right, yeah, the non-union, right.
Yeah, I was about third or fourth car.
Did they dump your car?
Huh?
Did they dump your car?
Not my
car.
Oh,
okay.
We were dumping theirs.
Okay, that's
we dumped all the union guys had their cars blocking the road. None of our cars got dumped in.
Oh, that's good.
Just the union guys got lost their cars.
Uh-huh.
They threw them in the river.
Non-union people outnumbered these union people, right?
Oh,
oh
you
yeah.
better bet.
They sure
and
did.
I guess
you
so.
Had no problem.
Because
that,
they never got in there. So you know, after the strike even, they never got in there. And everyone that was on the picket line was 80% of them was from out of town.
Right.
They were
right.
from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. They sent them right over to you.
I talked to some of them afterwards, you know.
Did you? What'd they have to say?
And they was from Chicago. They was hired by the union to
mm-hmm.
come here and picket, and the union paid them. See, they wanted to get in here, but they didn't get.
That's right.
Not that way, for sure.
Was you around when the non-union people terrorized Leonidas McDonald when they ran the colored man out of town?
Remember.
He was one of the CIO leaders.
Oh, you mean from out through out there?
Right.
Oh, yeah, I was around, but I wasn't in on that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we were in a lot of them out.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
But I was never against the union. But the way they did it, I belonged to union from then on after I quit the steel mill. And AFL Teamsters and
mm-hmm.
where all the other places I worked. But the way they tried to do it is what
yeah,
got everybody.
Right. They really went about it in a bad
just
way.
Just come in there and just say you're going to join the union, don't ask you. And boy, 90% of the guys says, oh yeah? I couldn't believe it, you know. I didn't know which side to go at first, and then I thought, well, I always figure you go with the majority, you're safe.
Yeah,
right. Uh-huh.
Did they try to use any kind of force?
When I got asking around, you know, and found out that, heck, there was nobody belonging to the union
mm-hmm.
out there that worked with me.
That's right. Were you one of the people that were, did they give the arms to you at any of the arms that they gave, like the billy clubs or the tear gas guns?
Oh,
or,
yeah. You better bet. I went to work for 2 weeks with my shotgun right in my car loaded.
Yeah, we saw.
And then we took turns out there. I stayed out there the first 2 weeks, stayed right there. And that's when I was on guard duty.
Yeah.
With my shotgun.
Jeez.
And they got my eats out there and everything.
Did you have any problems with anybody while you were standing out on guard duty? No?
No, not when they seen that shot.
Yeah, they weren't going to mess with you.
Shotgun, boy, I don't like a shotgun pointed at me. So, no, we never had no trouble. They tried to get in a couple times, but when they seen us step out at the guard shack with a shot, 8-10 of us with shotguns, they changed their mind.
Yeah.
Because a shotgun is wicked, boy. You don't have to even aim good.
That's right.
But it's a shame the way they done it, because they hurt everybody, because they hurt the city of Monroe, they hurt the guys working there, and they hurt themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because they killed their chance of ever getting a union in there that way.
They went about the whole wrong way.
Because the chief of police and all went right through.
That was Fisher, right? The chief of police was Fisher.
Yeah, Fisher.
And then Mayor Nags.
Yeah.
Right. He was a real character.
Well, then see, after he quit city police, he was out there in plant protection. He took
right.
out of the gate
mm-hmm.
and out the steel mill.
Jeez. So, what were the citizens, the armed citizens, what were they like during that week? Were there a lot of hyperness and...
No, there wasn't. Some of them probably was kind of nervous, but most of them that was out there with me, we just thought, well, we got them outnumbered about 10 to 1, so we never had to worry.
There was no one getting real radical or anything about it then, huh?
No.
Okay. What were your thoughts and feelings about all this?
The what?
What were your thoughts and feelings about all these happenings that were going on?
Well, my feeling was it kind of made me mad the way it was pulled.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't notify you. There's nothing. Just come in there and say, you know, we're going to strike tomorrow. I said, we are. That's the first I heard about
right.
it.
Right. Did you hear anything about what they were doing, though? They were going to have the small steel industry strike? Did you know that the CIO was going about doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Right, because
they come there the next day, and after they pulled the strike, and they blocked the road, and that's
right.
when we went through. I
mm-hmm.
don't know if it was right away or a couple weeks.
It was a couple weeks after.
I think
yeah.
so. Yeah, because it was before I went in the hospital, so they must have blocked for about a month.
We were in on the election that they had, like whether you were for the CIO or for the non-union.
Yeah.
Did you participate in that?
That?
You did vote. Okay.
Yeah.
So they had decided to open it like on June 10th, right? First of all, it was 8 o'clock, but then
yeah.
Mags and the other people had
yeah.
to go to the governor to see what they could do about with the CIO. And it didn't open until 4 o'clock on June 10th.
Yeah, well, that time we went in.
That's when all of it...
Yeah.
Okay. So what about some of the characters, you know, who are the major actors in the strike? The leading CIO?
There was some there I say should have been in prison.
Yeah.
From Chicago. Uh-huh. You haven't seen them.
What were they like?
We really had some guys there that looked like they were prisoners. They let them out.
Oh, yeah?
Down there and second.
They probably did.
I couldn't believe that. I wasn't brought up that way, the way they tried to come out there and do that, I'll tell you
mm-hmm.
that.
So, did you have any conflicts with any of the CIO people at all?
No, none at all? No, I never had no contact with them at all.
None, huh?
No. I didn't want any with them.
No. No. The way it looked, you know, I mean, that film we saw two films on it, and the way it looked like, I mean, people were just getting radical about everything, you know? They were really... They don't know who fired that first tear gun, you know, when that first tear gun was fired, but then everyone started and they chased all the CIO units across the marsh and...
Yeah. It really was going.
They were.
Yeah. I like to see that film. I seen it once someplace. Where the heck was it they showed it? And that was something.
It was. It was really something. And then it showed them tipping over the cars into the... Yeah.
Well, so you know how close I was the third car.
Yeah, heck, I might have seen your car on the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen two of them.
I can't remember what car I had then.
They tipped over a doctor's car, too, that they didn't know. They thought it was a CIO union man.
Yeah.
And they tipped over a doctor's car right into the lake, and he was...
Down the river.
That's
20, seems to me it's 28 or 29 cars.
Oh, my
in the river?
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that bank's about 16, 18
yeah.
down right there.
there's people, you know, what I saw, the movie, it was a silent movie.
Yeah.
And there was people driving through, trying to get through the pickup, and there's people jumping on their cars and beating on their cars. And
well, I didn't do much tipping or anything because I just got out of the hospital.
Right,
I
yeah.
I too good a shape. Yeah. I forget how many pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty serious.
Yeah, when they broke, see, that back M days when your appendix broke, it ain't got it like today.
Yeah.
They sliced me wide open and they washed me out and everything else, and they put three tubes. I had three tubes in me for 28 days.
Oh my God. That doesn't sound too comfortable.
They just come out with a drug at that time.
Yeah, the anesthetic.
I can't remember what it was, but it was, they used a tube that long, about that big around every hour, and they shoot this in me, and then it'd come out them tubes and wash that poison out.
God.
I never ate anything. Never drank nothing. The only thing I could drink was Canada dry ginger and no water, nothing for 28 days.
Really? Why not?
Wouldn't stay down, come right back up. Is that something? And the doctor finally said, after 3 days, what, they told you to get a bottle of Canada Dry, not Verner's, Canada Dry. She brought that and I could keep that down. That's the only thing I had in 28
because
days.
Of the carbonation and stuff?
Was... You'd think that had made it worse.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Canada Dry, that's what they give you when you get your tonsils taken out, too.
Oh. Yeah, I lived on it for 28 years.
But you never drank a bottle since,
see,
neither, huh?
They didn't feed you by your vein or nothing then, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't eat anything at all?
No.
Just drank?
I couldn't eat anything.
Okay, do you think that the strike had any lasting impact on the city or its people?
Do what?
Do you think that the strike had any lasting impact on the city or the people?
No. After it was over, the pickets all left. I think everything went back to normal within 2 weeks or so after they left.
Was it probably talk of the town for a while, though?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. There was quite a few mad at the chief of police for what he'd done, but he had his orders, so what the heck?
Right. He can't do much. Well, that seems so interesting. I mean, there was...
That was fun, that's fine.
Yeah. A little excitement anyways, huh? Yeah, because I guess, well, do you know, they had the UAW, didn't the UAW come in from Chicago or something from the UAW, and they went up to Sterling State Park, what Sterling State Park is right now, and they had like a rally there, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. They had there and where else, some other place up here around.
Right around the town square, wasn't it? They had somebody, a spokesman,
so, but
come
anyways,
in.
It didn't do them any good.
No.
They're just trying to recruit some more people for them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to get more. But the way it was, I never seen anything in my life pulled off like they tried to make. In fact, it was just like it was making you join the union.
Right.
And that's what made everybody mad out there. Never ask you or nothing. Come around and tell you the day before they're going to strike.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It was in Time magazine and everything too, this steel strike was national.
Yeah.
National thing.
That was in quite a few magazines. That got a lot of publicity.
Yeah, it did. Sure did. He's got my teacher, he has some a lot of clippings, and he even has the clipping from Time magazine.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to say something, but
yeah, well, at the time, it doesn't seem like it would be like a strike at the Ford plant. Now, who would think that it would ever amount to anything?
Yeah.
Anything more than just a strike until...
Then again.